reinigen uns dein Herzen.
Lord, purify our hearts.
Du bist Gott und wir beten, dass du deine lebendiges Wort
God, and we pray that you would really speak your living word to us. Thank you for the word that you have given us. Thank you, your word is eternal and endures for eternity. Thank you, Lord, that you will speak to us in a living way tonight. Tonight we give you our hearts and our ears. Give us an ear to hear what you want to speak to us. Praise the Lord. So we're going to keep talking about sufferings.
Ich habe einige Gesichter gesehen, die für die letzten Versammlungen noch nicht da waren, deswegen wollte ich
see a few new faces in the meeting. So, just want to give a quick intro or review of what we've shared in the past few meetings.
Ja, wir haben gesehen, dass
dass
wir in einer Zeit
that we're living in an age of perfection.
Wir leben in einer Zeit, wo Jesus
we're living at a time where Jesus will come back soon and will bring God's kingdom here on earth. So it's a time of perfection and maturity. And we have seen that we as Christians, as the people of God, we are the ones who have to come to perfection in our faith, in our service, in our humanity, in our whole life. In our whole life, it should really, our whole life should turn out into something that God desires. And we have seen in the first meetings, we cannot reach this perfection without trials, difficulties, and sufferings. We saw, well, we're having fellowship about Isaiah 53. And we've seen that Christ is this servant of God who was so willing and so ready to suffer everything that God ordained for him to suffer. But we cannot remain standing at this point. Many Christians stop there, that they are just for Christ, or they take Isaiah 53 to be only about the Lord's experience. And it is true, only Christ himself could really bring about this full redemption. But let us read 1 Peter 4, 1. Let's read it together. 1 Peter 4, 1.
Gerade nur der erste Teil. Oder kann es jemand vorlesen?
1 Peter 4, 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind.
So, da nun Christus für uns im Fleisch gelitten hat,
therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. So arm yourselves with Isaiah 53. So we see it is also for us.
Amen. Lob den Herrn. Und heute Abend sind wir
and tonight,
beim dritten Punkt im Outline.
We are in the third Roman numeral in the outline.
Den Vorbildern der Schrift folgen.
The examples
Hier
in the scripture.
Und die Gemeinde in Smyrna.
Job, the Hebrews, and the church in Smyrna.
Und ich werde mich nicht so ganz an das Outline halten.
I won't follow the outline exactly.
Aber wenn immer ich was erwähne, was dort steht, dann kann ich darauf hinweisen.
But I'll let you know if I'm speaking about a specific point. Let's read James 5, 10 to 11. James 5, 10 to 11. My brethren, take the prophet who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Amen. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Amen. So, in addition to Christ himself, we have many examples in the scripture, like Peter, Paul. But here it says, take the prophets as an example of suffering and patience.
Amen.
And then it continues, indeed we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job.
We
read the book of Job, or I recently read Job. And I treasured this even more. I really have to say, I love this book. It is a wonderful book. And we can see Christ in a wonderful way in this. A brother asked me, isn't Job a picture of Christ? And I thought, theoretically, yeah, I know that he is. But really, in many details, Job shows us this wonderful Christ.
Es fängt an damit, dass hier ein
starts with the fact that Job was a perfect man. Job 1:8.
Hast du meinen Knecht Hiob beachtet, denn seinesgleichen gibt es nicht.
The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?
Man könnte sich meinen, warum muss dieser durch Leiden hindurch?
You could say, well, why would this one need to go through sufferings? He is blameless, upright, fears God and shuns evil.
Der Sünder hat Leid verdient, aber nicht Hiob.
Sinners deserve sufferings,
so denken wir.
But not Job. That's what we would say.
Aber es ist ein wunderbares Bild auf Christus,
but it's a wonderful picture of Christ because he himself is the righteous one.
In Isaiah 53,
in Isaiah 53
das ist Vers 11, steht, dass
we see in verse 11
ist der Gerechte.
He is the righteous one.
Er hat kein Leid und keine Strafe verdient.
He did not deserve any sufferings or any bruises. But he went through these sufferings. And what really spoke to me was what we sang in the song this morning. The Lord left his glory.
And Job
was also blessed with much glory. He had much blessing.
Er erinnert sich daran und sagt in Job 29, Vers 2, O dass ich werde in den früheren Monaten wie in den Tagen, als Gott mich
says, oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God watched over me, when his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness. Just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me. He describes his previous condition.
Dass Gott mit ihm war,
that God was with him.
Christus,
in Christ, he was also always in the presence of the Father. Even before the foundation of the world, he was with God. In Proverbs 8:22, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. And verse 27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. In verse 29, he also says, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Amen. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. This was Christ.
Der Herr hat selber mal gesagt, Johannes 17, Vers 5, verherrliche du mich, Vater,
John 17, mit
der Herrlichkeit, die ich bei dir hatte, ehe die Welt war.
And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was.
Und was ich so wunderbar fand,
and what I think is so wonderful,
wie Hiob seine Erniedrigung
is how Job described his humbling.
Wie schwer sich der Herr erniedrigt hat.
And you can imagine then, or it shows us a little bit how difficult also, or how the Lord experienced his humbling. Job was really respected by others. People came to him to ask for counsel. Whenever people were talking, he came and no one could speak anything else besides him. He was so honorable and he was highly respected and highly esteemed. And then these difficulties arose. And he was severely humbled. Job 30.
Lachen die über mich, die ein Jahr jünger sind als ich.
He said they mock him, men younger than I, whose fathers I disdain to put with the dogs of my flock.
Das heißt, jetzt wird von denen verspottet, die er.
He was disdained by those.
Und so müssen wir sehen, hat sich Christus unter uns Menschen erniedrigt.
The Lord was really humbled to have to be among people like us. This is very impressive.
Amen. Und es tut uns gut, es mal zu lesen.
It's good for us to read Job 30.
Vers 1 bis 10. Da
especially verses 1 to 10. He describes his suffering. And we can really sympathize. Could see how much he had to lower himself to be among us men.
Und er ist auch wie der Satan durfte auch an seinen Leib, also er wurde, hat nicht nur alles verloren,
he didn't just lose everything, all his possessions and even his family. But the devil even touched his face and his body.
Job was plagued with
wounds, and he wanted to really scratch himself with all the boils on his body. That was Job 2.
Okay.
He was already lowered.
Das ist vielleicht nicht so schlimm. Das ist auch schlimm, aber
it is, of course, awful.
But for Job, so geachtet,
who was so highly esteemed, so highly valued,
war das eine schwere Erniedrigung.
It was really difficult lowering.
Beim Herrn, Jesaja 53, Jesaja 52, Vers 14,
in Isaiah 52:14, it says, just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men.
Und es wird hier gesprochen von Angesicht und von Gestalt.
It talks about his visage and his form, just like Job was touched from head to toe. But concerning the Lord, it says he was marred more than any man. So if you look at Job, the Lord was marred even more than he was. And in 53 verse 2, in Isaiah, it says, he has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Oh Lord,
we
have already heard that for us it is not so easy when people despise us.
Okay, wenn mich
Okay, maybe if the people in the world despise me, I can deal with it. But if the saints despise me, it's not that easy for me. It is
nicht so einfach, wenn wir
not so easy for us.
Denn wir wollen alle irgendwo ehrsame Leute sein.
In some way or another, we all want to have honor for ourselves. Even among us, among the saints. But even there, the Lord wants to give us His nature, His being, that even among the saints, we would not try to be highly esteemed. The Lord has to really deal with this in a very deep and thorough way in us. I realize how much it is being dealt with within me.
Und was mich auch noch sehr angesprochen hat in diesem Buch, war der Trost, diese drei Freunde,
these three friends in Job, the so so-called comforters,
sich miteinander hinzugehen,
Job 2:11,
Beileid zu bezeugen. Und ihn zu trösten.
It says when they heard of all this adversity that had come upon him, they made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. Their comfort was really of no use.
They leidige Tröster und mit euch stirbt die Weisheit aus und also.
He really said, if you were in my situation, you could give such wonderful counsel as you're giving me now. And he said, you, my friends, have raised yourselves up against me, because instead of comforting him, they judge him. And he says a wonderful verse, or wonderful sentence, Job 6:14. To him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. They came with many religious, well-intended religious counsel, but it was no comfort for him.
Und es hat er von diesen seinen Freunden nicht bekommen.
But he did not receive anything.
Hiob 16, Vers 2. Das ist eine Antwort. Dergleichen habe ich oft gehört, also was ihr gesagt habt. Ihr seid allesamt leidige Tröster. Haben die geistreichen Worte ein Ende? Oder was reizt sie dich zu antworten? Auch ich könnte reden wie ihr. Es wende sich nur eure Seele an meiner Stelle.
Shall words of wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do if your soul were in my soul's place. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips would relieve your grief.
Er zeigt, dass dieser Menschentrost nicht
he shows that the comfort of man is of no use.
Was mich da sehr angesprochen
what
hat,
really
ist,
spoke to me here is that
wir haben ja gesehen, nicht alle sind in Leiden, ja? Unter uns,
not all people are in suffering.
Schwierigkeiten. Es gibt andere,
there are some who are going through suffering or difficulties, but others not. But we should also suffer with them and empathize with them and really carry the needs of the saints and the burden of the saints. But Job really gave me a warning. You cannot make it. Human counsel or comfort is really of no use.
Aber auf der anderen Seite können wir darin die Weisheit von Christus erfahren.
But we can experience the wisdom of God in this.
It starts in Isaiah
52:13.
Woanders in Jesaja steht geschrieben, er ist der wunderbare Ratgeber.
It says, my servant shall deal prudently. And it also says in the word that he is the wonderful counselor.
Dann habe ich gemerkt, ich muss zum Herrn beten. Ich brauche ihn als
I have
Ratgeber.
To pray to the Lord as my counselor.
Und seine Einsicht, die rechten
His
Worte,
prudence, ja? The right words.
Und was wirklich ermutigend ist, es gibt einen, der mitfühlen kann. Das
But there is someone who can sympathize with us.
In diesem Beispiel.
We see this in this example.
Wunderbar. Und zwar der Herr selber.
The Lord himself.
Weil so wie er
Because as he was,
erniedrigt war, war
as he was lowered, he was lowered even more than Job was lowered. That means
er kann am besten mitfühlen.
So he is the one who can sympathize with us the best. Often we are just kind and we want to comfort one another, but we need Christ.
Das habe ich sehr ermutigt, Offenbarung 21, Vers 4.
Sagt, In Revelation 21, 4,
Gott wird abwischen alle Tränen von ihren Augen.
He will wipe away every tear, and the death will no longer be.
Denn das Erste ist vergangen. Also, der beste Tröster ist Gott selbst.
The best comforter is the Lord
Und
himself. He says, God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. And then he said, he became high priest because in that which he himself suffered, he can also help those who are being tempted.
Christus war auch vollkommen und gerecht.
Christ was also perfect
Aber
and righteous.
Zu lernen,
But to learn a mercy,
so
he had to be lowered
dieses,
in such a way.
Dieses vollkommene Mitgefühl und Barmherzigkeit zu
This perfect sympathy towards mankind. To gain this, he had to go through this experience because he was God. But before anything was created, he was there. And he really learned this mercy. And he can help. And he can sympathize with our weakness.
And was mich hier noch angesprochen hat, ist,
What
er
spoke
hat
to me
viel,
in Job was that
geklagt, er hat wirklich viel geklagt.
He did
Aber immer wieder
complain,
hat er
but
Gott in Ehren gehalten. Ja?
Again and again he honored God. He often said, I would just rather die. Or, why are you doing this to me? I am righteous and I am still suffering. But again and again, there are sentences where you see that he really honored God.
Und das heißt, es ist genau wie Christus, dass der an dem, was er gelitten hat,
Just as Christ learned obedience to the things which he suffered, this is also how Job learned obedience.
Und am Ende
And at the end,
ist er erhört worden, weil er
he was heard because he held God in honor or honored God.
Job 16
Job
16,
verse 19 and 20.
Here, verse 19, aber auch jetzt
Surely even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God. As a man pleads for his neighbor, he really had this awe for God. He never left it. other people assumed he would forsake this. But he said, no, my eyes pour out tears to God. Because he had this attitude, God heard him. And he also learned endurance. Because before, as we were having fellowship, we realized that he had to suffer this for quite some time, not just for a few days.
Job 35:14
says, although you say you do not see him, yet justice is before him, and you must wait for him. He said, yet justice is before him.
Or 37:21.
Even now, men cannot look at the light when it is bright in the skies, when the wind has passed and cleared them. He comes from the north as golden splendor, with God as awesome majesty.
Durch diese ganze Situation, ich habe mich gefragt, warum muss dieser vollkommene Mann?
I asked myself, why did this perfect man still have to go through this suffering?
Wenn du liest und wenn du das Ergebnis,
and if you read the book and see the end result, he still gained something that he didn't have before. It was this humility towards God. The fear of God.
Und sagt diesen einen Satz, den wir wahrscheinlich alle kennen. Job 42:6.
Job 42:6.
Moment, Vers 5.
Sorry, verse 5, Job 42:5. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Amen. Yeah, but now my eye sees you. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Lord, we don't want to just hear of you by the hearing of the ear, but we want our eyes to see you. Now my eye has seen you. Job 16:19-20. Surely, even now my witness is in heaven and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me, my eyes pour out tears to God. Lord, this we want to become our experience. Thank you, Lord, for all your encouragement through the Word. Lord, we praise you that you can bring us to perfection. Praise the Lord. In addition to Christ, there are many examples in the scripture. Like it says in James, they were examples for us in their sufferings and in their perseverance. and their patience. And Job is a wonderful example because it shows us something that are behind the curtains. We have a goal and we want to reach perfection. We want God's kingdom to come here on earth. That's why in the invisible world, between God and the devil, there is a huge battle. And that's why God cannot let us just walk on in. But it also has to go through sufferings. We also have to go through sufferings. Hebrews shows this as well. Hebrews shows us the Lord in a very specific way. We have read many verses from Hebrews in the last few meetings, how the Lord himself learned obedience through suffering, how there was no other way to learn mercy or to learn sympathy. The only way was to go through the experience himself, through the sufferings. And in Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, you see the Lord and how he went through everything and fulfilled everything. All the scriptures, all the offerings, and all the feasts he has fulfilled. And to go into glory. And why? Why is it described in such an encompassing way in Hebrews? Because it was addressed to the Hebrews who really needed it. Because they had to see such an example in Christ. And this is exactly what we need. In Hebrews 10, this is described. I hope you can, you have patience and can endure in this heat. We have need of endurance. That's what it says in Hebrews as well. Hebrews 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. We know the struggle that exists before someone is saved, to bring someone to the Lord, and that this person would also continue in the Lord is really a great struggle. But Hebrews is talking about a different struggle. It is after you were illuminated, after the salvation, and this is a great struggle with sufferings. What does it look like? Partly while you were being made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations. Spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations. That means when people want to make fun of things or make us, then think about the believers and the Hebrews. Then they would have something to laugh about it. It was a spectacle.
Peter hat die Verse vorhin vorgelesen, wie das auch das Zeugnis von Paulus war und der Brüder.
The testimony of Paul to the brothers. It was their struggle. It was the sufferings that they had to go through.
Und dann geht der Vers weiter.
And then the verse continues.
Und dann hat ihr Gemeinschaft mit denen, welchen es so ging.
And partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, it's a really special fellowship. I don't know if I would voluntarily have such a companionship or fellowship. You became companions of those who were so treated. Our natural reaction is to say, oof, I'm glad that I don't have this difficulty. Oh, I'm really better be careful that I don't enter into this difficulty. But they were companions of those who were so treated. And just as Jonah said, it wasn't a companionship or fellowship with just words. Oh, it's not that bad. May the Lord help you. But this is how we comfort others. We comfort only with words. But it's very short. It often doesn't help. But God's comfort is different. He comforts as a person. Paul also said, we comfort the same comfort with which we have been comforted. And this is Christ. He himself was in tribulations and trials, but he realized how Christ was his comfort. And then you can really give Christ to one another. And this is the fellowship of the sufferings. Praise the Lord for this special companionship and fellowship.
For you.
Yeah, you joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Joyfully accepted. And then 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. Amen. And we need this turning point. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. This turn to show, to look away from everything that's happening around you and to look at the great reward and to look at the Lord. Why shouldn't we cast away our confidence? In so many situations where there's so many attacks, the enemy is there. At the door, the serpent is there, just like he was in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? He will try to come in. We should not speak with the devil or listen to him. What should we do? Hebrews 10 talks about the boldness, and he says we should enter with boldness. Today we should enter into the holiest place. And this boldness, regardless of what it looks like outside, we should not cast away this confidence or boldness. Maybe you cannot jump with joy, but this is not what it's meant here. But do not cast away our confidence to enter into the holiest place, because in the holiest place, that's where you find the real help, the real fellowship with the Lord. Psalm 73, the psalmist really is envious of the unrighteous because they don't have any difficulties. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they pleased like other men. That was 73:5. But what does 14 say? For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Every morning. The chastening is there. And what was his salvation? If you just think, I'm not allowed to do anything. I'm so poor. Every day. This is not what will bring you onwards. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. This is when the turning point came. Praise the Lord. We should not cast away this confidence. We have to enter into the holiest place. Then back to Hebrews 10:36, it says, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Praise the Lord.
So hat Christus, unser Vorbild, und auch die Hebräer, hat zeigt das.
They weren't so oppressed by their sufferings that they completely forgot the will of God, but they were continuously focused on the will of God. This is the experience of the burnt offering. Through the burnt offering, we have the possibility to enter into the experience. If I sit at home the whole day and don't know what I should do, and everything's okay and I have time the whole day long, and we can ask the Lord what He wants, it's good, of course, but what's really precious is to enter into the experience of when having no time or no capacity to still be for the Lord and to hear what He wants to say and to still obey Him and to not be so occupied with my sufferings and my worries. For this I need the burnt offering. I believe You and I am still for Your plan despite this matter. Oh Lord, yeah, there we can really experience the Lord as our burnt offering. Yeah, Lord, for yet a little while, and He who is coming will come and will not tarry. Amen. Often the prophets asked, how long, or the psalmist, how long? And the Lord says, yet a little while. Just endure a little bit more. This brings everything into the right relationship with one another. If you're running a marathon and you're at the end, then it's a very small while, little while. It's relative. Why? So, Hebrews gives us this encouragement for yet a little while. And James said we should take the prophets as our example. We have to see how they endured. I looked in Jeremiah. He really suffered a lot for the Lord and spoke a lot for the Lord. It belongs together. In Jeremiah 11, they had plans to attack Him, but the Lord uncovered it. But after that, Jeremiah speaks with God. He says, yet let me talk with you about your judgments. He wants to have a meeting with the Lord. And he brings his matters before God. And the Lord answered him at the end. At the beginning it says, why are those happy who deal so treacherously? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why do they prosper? He complains before God. But verse 5 says, if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? It's an amazing answer from the Lord. But it really exposed me. Because often I compare myself with the footmen, with the wrong people. If you're running a marathon and the people are running and people are watching, who are you going to compare yourself with? People who are looking or watching? Or the people who are also running towards the Lord? The people who are attending the event or are looking, they're not running towards the goal. And often I compare myself with other people. How come this? How come that?
The point is, they don't want the Siegeskranz.
Point is, they don't want this crown. They don't want the reward when the Lord comes. But if I have this focus, I want to enter the kingdom, and I want to be a first fruit, then there's another measure by which we need to measure ourselves. We are in this race and want to reach the goal. All the saints have received a measure from the Lord. We are running all towards the goal.
Lob den Herrn. Und deshalb sagt er dann am Schluss, mein Gerechter wird aus Glauben leben.
And that's why he says, the just shall live by faith. And if he draws back to perdition, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrews 10:39 again. We are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Amen. We should not draw back. For this, we need the Feast of Reconciliation. Our soul, regardless of what our disposition is like, we always want to draw back. But if we draw back, then we will not gain Him. We are not of those who draw back to perdition. Every day we have to exercise this. To pursue the Lord in everyday life. To preserve the first love. To overcome all lukewarmness. This is really a battle. It requires energy. I don't know what it's like with you guys, but I know if I want to keep the word and not to become lukewarm during the day and during the week, it is a battle. This daily pursuing to gain the Lord as the offerings, it is a pursuing of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we should not draw back.
Und dann zeigt Hebräer nur noch kurz die Hebräer 11, die ganzen
Hebrews 11 shows many of the examples of people, of ones who stood for the Lord and really overcame. Praise the Lord, we're not alone. Many of us have already gone this way before us and have really overcome. Moses would rather be mistreated with the people of God than to have the passing pleasure of sin.
Amen.
He looked unto the reward. Through these examples, we can see how we can go through the situations and gain the Lord. And then Hebrews chapter 12, it is a summary of all things, the culmination of everything. Therefore, we also, since we are also in this race, we don't want to give up right before the end. At the beginning, it's easy to run. At the end, it's difficult, but it's worth it to not give up because then you will gain the crown. And what does he say as an encouragement? He says, look unto Jesus. Amen. The Lord went this way. He went through all sufferings into glory. Amen. And we think on him. We know so many verses from these chapters. They are directions, guidance, or not guidance, but directions of how we can gain the Lord. Verse 3 says, consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. This really describes the situation. Consider him. Not in a general way. Psalm 130 describes what this means.
Auf den einen Herrn zu denken.
To consider him and to wait on him.
Psalm
130 says, you can read it yourself, but it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning.
Yeah.
We should not wait for the end of the sufferings. We should wait for the Lord. That's why it says, consider him like one who waits for the morning, that your eyes are only focused on the Lord and you await him. Through the chastening of the Lord, we can really gain something, and it profits us. And then you see in the last portion what it says. He shows them Mount Zion, the heavenly city of the living God, and an unshakable kingdom. Praise the Lord. This is what he wants to have. How can he find out if something is unshakable? Just by looking at it and observing it? No. You have to kick against it. Let it wobble. Let it shake, and then you'll see if it's steadfast. And we want to enter into the kingdom. We want to enter into the unshakable kingdom that is eternal. With this view, with this focus, we go through everything. Amen.
Yeah,
praise the Lord for such examples, practical directions from the Lord. How have they gained Christ? Where do we see the Lord? And we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Praise the Lord. We have seen the examples in Job and Hebrews. One point is important and that came to me, that we should not love our soul life, but we have to deny our soul life. In all the examples in the scripture, we see that they all had the sufferings of the servant of God. We have to understand where we're coming from. What's our condition? In Isaiah 53:5, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. If we want to be such servants, then we also have to see what our origin was, where we have come from. To not just begin to serve. Every person suffers. People have problems. Most of the time people suffer because of their own sins. They have many problems through their vanity, through their anger, through lies. But when it's about the sufferings of the Lord, everyone suffers. But when we talk about the sufferings of Christ, we say, I would rather not have so much to do with that. But when it comes to the suffering of sin, we have excuses. It's normal. Every person goes through that. That shows that our soul life that we're used to it and we even like the sufferings that are due to our sin. But the sufferings of Christ are something different. But in Psalms 32, they even like lies. This is how we are. And we like lies. When it's about us, and when it's advantageous to us, then the threshold is lowered. This is our fallen self. It's our soul life. And this is something we all need to learn, what God wants to deal with. So we have to see. I think every one of us has had the experience where we're at the cashier and you get your money back and you realize, oh, the person made a mistake. How often do you go back to correct the mistake? There is something within us that we don't want to stand for the truth and we would just rather let it go. This is already the lie. Or maybe you're up for a promotion or have the possibility to be promoted. And then you're speaking maybe a little bit more than you should, just for your own advantage. And this shows that our soul life is so fallen. And this type of behavior is what Isaiah 53:6 describes. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. This is how we are, and from this self we need to be saved. And we also need to be such examples. It has to do with our really putting our soul life to death. We like sheep, have all gone astray. And Peter also talked about this and says in 1 Peter 2:25, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And one good example that we see here is that the church in Smyrna was also a good example, who had the shepherd, Jesus Christ. They had a lot of sufferings and had to go through many sufferings, but the Lord was really their shepherd. He wants to prepare them for the sufferings. He knows that they will have to suffer a lot. But how the Lord describes it, he just has such a love for this church. He says, he introduces himself as, I am the first. I am the last. Amen. And we need this focus. When it's about suffering, our soul has to come to this shepherd who sees all things, who knows all things. And he was the first and the last. And in this I really see the love of the Lord. I was dead. I went through this. The sufferings that you will encounter, I carry them. And I already had them. I was dead, but came to life. Who was dead and came to life. This is really an encouragement. And it continues. I know your works, your tribulation and poverty. The Lord knew exactly what was awaiting them. He was not that far from them and is not far from us. And we have to see this in our sufferings. Our focus has to be Christ. He is really such a comfort and knows and prepares this church for the sufferings that are to come. But he says he really wants to take care of them in all their suffering. Verse 10, Revelation 2:10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. It's really such a strong encouragement. And It has to be the same way for us. This is prophetic, what is written here. Christians were very much persecuted. And when you see how the Lord carried them through the situation, he was their personal comfort on their way to being martyred. They loudly rejoiced and declared his name. Some were so captured by them and captivated by how they were so rejoicing. It was the other way around. They weren't worried about what was to come, but they really had such joy that they projected. And many people even became believers through this expression of the saints who had to suffer so much. And there were even Christians who associated themselves with them that they themselves also had to die. To go through all of this and go through death because they wanted a better reward. He says, be faithful unto death and I will give you the crown of life. It's so wonderful to see these examples. Or others who were led captivity. Even their expression of the peace of God really brought others to weep. And the martyrs had to even comfort them and encourage them to look unto the Lord. It's really a perverse world. And through the people who even saw how the martyrs were martyred, got Bibles from themselves, and they themselves became saved. We have to have such boldness in our sufferings. God was so close to them in a personal way, and then they were also fully convinced, for Christ I will lay down my life without wavering. And exactly in this way we have to have this attitude. For this I will leave my soul life. My soul life is so fallen. There's so many excuses. If you stand before this death as a martyr, our soul has so many excuses. I would rather say, I will deny myself now, even though I don't mean it really so genuinely, and then I'll continue to serve the Lord. We have such strange thoughts, or maybe it's just my thought. Oh Lord, preserve me. This soul life cannot reign. He who endures will also reign with him. We cannot give the lies any room. If we recognize that they are there, we have to immediately put them to death. The Lord says, he who overcomes. Hebrews 12 says, they have overcome him. They did not love their soul lives, even unto death. We cannot love our soul lives even unto death. The Lord really exposes this and uncovers this within me. My soul life wants to have such smart ideas. And I had some personal time with the Lord, and I sought him in the Word. I started to become tired. And my soul life said, okay, now you have to rest. And then the doorbell rang. And then I talked to the person. It was very nice. And then after that, I was quite awake. And then after that, I came to the Lord. And then suddenly, I was tired again. Before then, I was fully awake, fully present. And then someone else rang the doorbell and says, you have to help me with this and that. And then I helped them. And then I was fresh again. And then I went back to the Lord, and then something within my soul says, you know, you've done a lot, why don't you just go to sleep? And I said, no, I have to rule over this. It can't continue like this. The soul life deceives us. It wants to steal the crown from us. Do not underestimate this. If we don't leave our soul life, it will continue to work within us. And no, we have to learn to keep the Feast of Reconciliation. He has given us into the priesthood, or He has given us the priesthood as the solution, as the way out. I have to say to the Lord, I need you now as my Feast of Reconciliation. I keep you as this feast, and I want to gain a sin offering. When we really put our soul life to death, then joy really results. Of course, what the martyrs experience is not necessarily our daily experience, but still we can put our soul life unto death. Why? Because when it comes to the Feast of Reconciliation in Leviticus 23, it says it should be they should really humble themselves before the Lord. The tiredness was gone after I kept the Feast of Reconciliation. It really was exchanged with joy. I said, Lord, I keep you now as this Feast of Reconciliation. I lay hold of you as this. And what happened? It was a Sabbath of solemn rest. And there was joy. And we also see Christ in this. But just like in Isaiah 53, verse 12, because he poured out his soul unto death, he also put his soul life to death. And through this way has to be our way. This is the only sure way that will lead us to the goal. He gave us such a good example, and so many other examples that he has given us. But for this, to be able to follow the Lord, we really have to deny our soul life. Nothing, everything else will lead us to perish. Everything will have to be judged. The priesthood is such a wonderful way of salvation, so we can be rid of this soul life, which is so strong within us. In John 12:27, the Lord showed us how this can be done. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? He was speechless. Father, save me from this hour. But his attitude was so wonderful. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, amen, glorify your name. Troubles will really strengthen us in our faith. We should not say, why am I in this suffering again? But for this hour, this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. It is a completely different reaction, different attitude. And this is the attitude of the martyrs. Not even death could hold them. Could not hold the Lord back, nor all the examples in the Word. If we leave our soul life, He will really replace it with Himself. No suffering will cause us to be lacking. In Isaiah 53, at the end, what does it say? Verse 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. We see how he has taken away the strength of our soul. If we look at Saul, or Paul, he was originally Saul. He was really full of wrath, and he was against God and God's purpose. He did so many things against God, but he had to leave his soul life. And what came forth from this? At the end, he says, I am captured by the Lord. He was really led captive. In Ephesians, what does he say? Chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, amen, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Peter was just as strong, always had something to say in every situation that was wrong. It was right for him, but it wasn't right. He was so strong within himself, but as the Lord, or as Peter denied the Lord, and then Jesus looked at him, through this he really broke Peter, and Peter had to repent. Through this, he was also able to break Peter. And B, he was able to produce something glorious out of it. Otherwise, what would have become of Peter? He would have just been a fisherman. His life would have been the same day in, day out. It would have been like the rest of the world. That's how his life would have been. But Christ called him out of this. And for this, we have to be thankful to God. He has to take us out of the ways we are used to, because these ways will really block our entrance into the kingdom. The Lord really took him as a prisoner and led captivity captive. I am very encouraged by this, to leave our soul life for the kingdom, because the reward is so great.